thought that the Lord laid on my heart is faith restored. And this thought came to me. I pondered it, and the Lord gave me faith restored, and then I thought, no, faith inspired. And then he brought it back to me, faith restored. So I believe the Lord wants to increase our faith and restore to the level that he intended for us to have. I believe faith is so essential in our salvation. Without faith, there is no salvation. We have our faith, our salvation because of faith. But it's going to take faith all the way. Yes. It's our foundation. And we can't just have it a certain part of the time or a certain part of the way and, you know, kind of put it to the side. It's going to be something that we start with, and in order for us to finish the race, we got to have it all the way to the end. My husband was a fisherman, and I believe he was the one that told of, you know, how you catch the fish and you get the skin off of it. He said, you know, I don't know if it was him or whoever, but they start, I guess, trying to skin the fish or what, however they were doing it, scale it, and they started with the knife. And they thought that they could start with the knife, I guess, and pull it off. He said that they started with that knife and had to keep it all the way to the end. And that's the same way with faith. We start with faith, and we have to have it all the way to the end. I believe the Lord wants us to have great faith. I believe he wants us to be men and women of faith. But in order to do that, we're going to have to let the Lord work with us. Like that song says, you know, sometimes we might pray for something or we might need something, and then we find that we have to wait to get the promise. And so we want to allow the Lord to build, to restore our faith, that when he comes, he will have people of faith together. Let's go to Hebrews 11 and read 1 and 2. I began to personally realize the value of faith sometime back. I don't remember when. And I find that every opportunity I get, I try to listen to. I take the Church of God preaching the messages, and usually at night I like to have a message before I go to bed. I'll have it with the girls, we'll have discussing, then they go to bed, and then I have one for me. And that's what I sleep by. It's like my food before I go to bed. But I find that if there's something in there about faith, I try to listen to it. Because I feel that it's going to be valuable for me as a person when I come to the end of the way to have great faith, to have solid, strong faith. And so I believe we can build faith. I believe it can be built. It can be increased. Let's go to somebody read verses 1 and 2 of Hebrews 11.
Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
For by it the elders obtained a good report.
You can stop right there. The elders obtained a good report by faith.
Yes.
We as elders and people of God will be able to have a good report because of our faith. And so it is vital. It's very essential. But I feel that things are happening in our world today that is challenging our faith. The enemy is challenging our faith. He's coming up against us in many ways, in many fronts, to diminish faith.
Yes, it's true.
But we can't afford to let him take it.
That's right.
It's something we're going to have to hold fast to with all our heart, and we're going to have to contend, and we're going to have to fight. We live in a time the enemy of our soul is out to get us. We might as well face it. He's not our friend. He's out to destroy us on any way he can. So we got to fight. We got to have a fight in us. We can't just lay down and let him just railroad us and walk all over us.
Amen.
And so when it comes to our faith, we got to fight for it.
Yes.
Let's go to Jude and read verse 3 in Jude first.
Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints.
All right. Earnestly contend. If I'm contending for something, I'm fighting for it.
Yes.
Contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. What was the faith that was once delivered unto the saints? It was a belief in God. A trust in him. When he says something, they believed it. And they stood on it. That was faith. You don't see God. He's invisible as far as our natural eyes can see. But when he speaks, we know when he speaks. And they moved on those things that he spoke to them. We could go, if we read all of Hebrews 11, we'd see over and over where people were moved by God in various ways, and they believed God. It was through faith that they believed him, and they acted on it. I just want to think just a minute of Noah built the ark, right? How many years did it take him to build that ark and preach while he was doing? About 120 years, right? Somewhere in that area. It would take faith to believe God ordered this for him to go on and do everything exactly like he said. Was it God, like a human person, standing there telling him? No, he spoke to him. He believed him. He acted on it. And it didn't take one month, 1 year, 120 years. And all of those years, he was preaching to people, telling them the Lord's going to, you know, no doubt he said, the Lord is going to destroy this earth. And probably people were making fun of him and all of these things. But he believed God. That's the faith that was once delivered to the saints, to be able to hear God, believe God, and act on what he says. I believe today he wants us as his people to have that kind of faith. He tell you to go. I was on the prayer line with Miami one night, and this lady said she felt to leave work, I think, early and go. I guess she was going home. And I don't know if she detoured, but she started going in a certain way. And she, I think it was her, Rose, were you on there?
Yes.
It was her grandson?
Yes, her grandson.
Was walking. And walking, and she found him. This is the kind of God that we have. He wants to tell us, go on certain road, do certain thing, because he knows there's somebody that needs help. She was able to help that little child, but had she not followed what God was telling her, the child might have never been found, might have lost their lives. Today, we want to have that kind of faith in God. When he tells us something to do, we do it. All of us. Not just one, not just the preachers, but every single one of us that live for God, he wants us to have that faith in him to where he can tell us what to do and we do it. Or he can tell us not to do certain things and we not do it. And when we live a daily life of faith, when we come to those hard places, he'll be there for us. So it's a simple kind of childlike faith. You know, if you tell a child, a little child that's really a dear child, don't do this or go there or do that. They do it because they believe you. Or you might tell them, I'm going to give you such and such, and they believe you. The Lord even wants to help us when we're sick. And he wants to give us directions in our sickness. He wants to tell us, I'm going to heal you. And we believe him. Or he wants to tell us, not now. And we believe him. He wants to have interaction with us through our lives on a daily basis. This is faith. Let's go, but I was thinking of how that the time we're living in, it seemed like our faith is diminishing. I'm not accusing anybody. I'm saying we're living in that kind of time where faith is diminishing. And we don't want this to happen. In Luke 18 and 8, you see, Jesus saw this time coming. He saw these things. He saw, no doubt, us as people where we have to have things and we don't really have the stamina to wait on him to work for us. I might have a headache, and that headache lasts for an hour, and I'm saying, Lord, heal me. And he doesn't heal me in the hour or in the next few hours. Then, if I'm not careful, my faith will begin to diminish. And I think the Lord's not going to heal me. But he wants us to continue. And he will heal. When he says what he says he'll do, he'll do. I've shared experiences that I've had. And I'm sure that he's not through with giving me experiences of his healing and his help. But I remember one time, and I told this, and I hurt my foot, well, my ankle, with a piece of iron in the car we had, not car, the van. Anyway, it got infected. And I really resigned. I thought that it wasn't going to heal. I thought it was just, Lord was going to take me out on that. But when that Sunday morning I got up and I was walking in my bathroom and the Lord dropped this song, "I'm Healed, I Know I Am." And when I did, I realized that the Lord was telling me that he was healing me. Do you know what happened that day? It looked worse. Infection looked like it gone. There was a streak of red up my leg, just like it was worse. But I had to hold on and still sing the song, "I'm Healed, I Know I Am." Know how many years ago that was? Almost around 40 years, because Becky was about 9 months old. God healed me. But I had to believe without the sight, you know. Faith, the Lord wants to increase our faith. He wants us to have the same kind of faith that Peter and John says, "Such as we have, give I unto thee. Rise up and walk." It took faith for them to say that to that man. But you know what the devil will do? You get ready to pray for him. I know, because I know how he fights us. You get ready to pray for him, and he'll say, "What if they don't get up and walk? What if they don't?" That's doubt, right? But we have to fight that. Yes, and we have to fight it and stand on it. Yes. He wants us to have that kind of faith, I believe, today. Yes. Where we can say, "Rise up and walk." Yes. But the reason we can't say, "Rise up and walk," the devil puts these doubts in our minds. Yes. It may not be his will. So we get the mind of God for that person that we're praying for, and we can stand on. When the Lord said, "I'm healing them," we can stand on, he's going to heal them. Let's go read that scripture.
Luke 18:8. "I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?"
Shall he find faith on the earth? Isn't that amazing? We don't want that to happen. We have to fight to keep that from happening. All of these things are designed to take our faith, but we don't want him to be able to come back and say, "There's no faith. No faith." So we must contend for it. We must hold on. If we have just a little bit of faith, hold on to that little bit of faith that we have and say, "Lord, increase my faith." Ask for it. Contend for it. That we have much faith, strong faith. Now, I want us to look at Abraham. Because Abraham was the father of faith, he was counted as the father of faith. And in one scripture says, he is the father of us all. So let us learn from what Abraham, how he had faith. Romans 4 and 16. Let us not be content with just a barely amount of faith. Let's contend for a lot of faith. And do you know, when we ask God for faith, we're going to have to be tried. It's not going to come just by everything going good. It's going to through trials and tribulations and different things. But I believe that every day can be a challenge of our faith. Every day can be a source of building our faith, if we'll let it. The little things that happen to us, the big things, whatever happens to us on a daily basis, let's allow the Lord to increase our faith. Let's trust him. Let's not feel that we know and we can do it ourselves. Sometimes we may not see a way out, but we can walk by faith. We can believe God that he'll work a way out. It looked like there's no way out of this situation. But let's lift our eyes to Jesus and believe God that he will certainly make a way. Romans 4 and 16.
Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all.
We want to have that kind of faith. The same kind of faith he had, we're going to have. And as we read today, I hope we can see how Abraham, the kind of faith he had. Galatians 3, 4 to 9.
Galatians 3 and 4 through 9. Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you in the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, "In thee shall all nations be blessed." So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham.
So we can be inspired by having that kind of faith, the same kind of faith of Abraham. And when I think of Abraham and the faith, he didn't put a limitation on God. When God told him something, he believed it and he stood on it regardless. We have to have the kind of faith, we need to have the kind of faith that everything is point away from what we feel the Lord said. And yet we believe God in spite of it. That's what Abraham did. Now read Romans 4, 17 to 25.
Romans 4 and 17 through 25. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be as though not as though they were.
Just a minute. Those things that be not as though they were. In other words, the invisible stuff, they're not there. But he calls those things that are invisible, look like they're not there, as though they were. Read on, please.
Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be.
Okay, stop just a minute. Against hope. This is a hopeless situation. Can we have faith when it's hopeless? Against hope, believe in hope. Can we believe in hope when it seems hopeless? That is the kind of faith we have to contend for today. Read on.
And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. How far?
To 25.
And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it is not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification.
You know, I could just stop this message right here. When you look at what he's saying here, it's the whole heart of what the Lord wants us to do. Abraham didn't stagger at the promises of God. He was 100 years old, and his wife was 90 to have a baby. That is hope against hope. He didn't even consider it. He believed God so much, he knew that I don't care how old I am or how old my wife is. He's going to do it. So when the Lord tells us he's going to do something, he will do it. And I have found it to be so in my own personal life that when he says something, he means it. He's not playing around. He's not someone that tells you something and don't fulfill it. He will fulfill the thing that he says he's going to do. And so we want to contend for that kind of faith, that we don't stagger at the promises of God. God told me to do this, and I'm going to do it, and I leave it in his hand. I believe God. We need to believe God. He is God Almighty. We need to realize that he has control of us and this whole universe. He can do anything he wants to do. He has all power in heaven and in earth. He's not weak like we are. He's not limited like we are. And we should not limit him. We should know that if he says he'll do it, he'll do it. And stand on it. Let's go to James 2:5.
James 2:5. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and the heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him?
I believe God likes to use the thing that looks weak. He chose the weak, the poor, the hardly can get around, to do his will. And when he chooses them, he gets all the glory. You see, when we can do something, God gets no glory out of that. But when we are unable, just like Abraham. Now, had he had this child at a time that's normal, it wouldn't have looked like from God. It would just look like normal. I mean, you 25 and she's 25 or something like that, 24. and he had this child, it wouldn't have had anything to do with faith. It's just, you know, it happens. But no, the Lord allowed him to have a child when he's 100 years old. Not even, you might say, oh, he's 60 or he's 75. But no, he's 100. You could put all possibilities of this being a natural occurrence away. And she was 90. So this is the way the Lord works. He likes to choose the poor of this world, rich in faith. Can you imagine? Think of the lady that gave her 2 pence. Rich in faith. No doubt that lady had to know that God was going to take care of me, because she gave everything. But that's the way the Lord likes to do it. Because he wants us to be rich in faith too. Let's go now to Romans 1 and 17. I find a lot in Romans that is encouraging when it comes to faith.
Romans 1 and 17.
Mm-hmm.
For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith.
So I think that the Lord wants our daily life, just like you said, from faith to faith. Today, exercise faith. Something I had to deal with. Maybe I lost my keys, right? And I have to ask God where they are. And then when I ask him and he shows me, what does that do to my faith? It builds my faith and my confidence in him. And the Lord, you'll find the Lord will do it in such a way you'll know it was God and it wasn't just ordinary. Because he wants to go from faith to faith. He wants us to be people of faith. Now let's go to Luke 18 and read 1 through 7. Because when I want us to see that sometimes when we have things that we want to ask the Lord, he doesn't always just give it to us that time, but he wants us to continue to ask until we get the answer that we need from him.
And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?
You see, we can contend. We can continue to come. We don't need to give up the first time we ask. And this headache, I got this headache, now I've had it a couple of hours, and just throw up hands and say, well, I guess I have to go get me some whatever they get used to take it away. Let's depend on the Lord. I'm not saying, I know that faith is something that God has to build. And I'm not saying anything against people that do these things. But he does want his people to be able to trust him and not to just give up. The first time, you know, the pain is there, and we continue. Let's continue to pray. Sister Cheryl was, she and I were such good close friends. We were like sisters. And I was sitting in here one day. Sometimes, you know, she had cancer, and sometimes that she couldn't always have company. But this particular day, I could come, and I came. She was sitting in her recliner, and she had me sitting in Brother Dan's recliner. And she told me, she said, you know, it was almost like she would go through this again because the Lord was so close to her. And through this affliction, God manifests himself in such a special way till it endeared him. And it seemed like she was happy to be in that situation because of the nearness of God. You know, God will work with us through these afflictions if we'll let him, and he'll show his great strength. And if we trust him, and I believe she said every time they would pray, the Lord would relieve the pain. Of course, he took her after a while, but it was an experience that it kind of stayed with me. The joy she was feeling in the midst of this affliction. And she was a great witness to others during this time. Let's go to Romans 8. And 24 and 25.
For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it.
Thank the Lord. So I want us to be encouraged to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. I do want us to think that there are things that I believe hinder this faith. And I believe some of the things has to do with the options we have. If the Lord don't heal me, then I can do this or I can do that. I remember when I had this arthritis in my knee, I was teaching. I had an x-ray, they told me that I had arthritis. And it seemed like it was bone. I believe they said it was bone on bone. So I went therapy. They said, your knee is too bad for therapy. And so they wanted to do a knee surgery. But I just didn't choose to do that. I'm not against other people that do it, but I didn't. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, I will heal you. And the first time he said that, I got so excited, I thought, now I'm just going to walk out in faith. You know, using a walker, and I was in a wheelchair for a while. So I get ready to walk out in faith, and my knee gave way, and I almost fell. So I went. I didn't give up the Lord's that he's going to heal me, but I realized I need to wait on his timing. And when the Lord heal my knee, he put cushion in my knee, my right knee, just as if, I don't know what they do for those surgeries, but I know he put cushion in my knee, and I start walking from the back of the church into the front. Usually Sister Ann would wheel me in the wheelchair to my front. You know, I like to sit on the front. So I start walking. No pain, no nothing. It was God's time. And, you know, I walk funny. I don't care. The Lord bless that knee. It's better than the other one. Today, if I have to put pressure on any one of my knees, it's going to be the one the Lord healed. Now, but we have to believe God. And we have, if faith that's seen is not faith. So we have to stand on what he says. And he will do what he says. Now let's read one more scripture. Jude is just one chapter anyway, but it's 20 to 21.
But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life.
Thank you, Lord. Building up yourself in the most holy faith. I believe the Lord wants to do this for each and every one of us. And we need to start now on a daily basis. Pray for me.